All right, here we go. My name's Jeff Kay, and you're listening to episode 378 of the world-famous West Virginia Surf Report podcast.
My ass.
The other day I was talking to my brother, or maybe we were texting, I'm not sure, and he said, "What's going on today?" And I said, "Well, the highlight so far is I shit in a box." And he goes, "What? All that Cola Guard, the Cola Guard deal?" I'm like, I said, no, I shit in a box of Zesta saltines, just grabbed something random out of the cupboard and just offloaded into it. Sometimes I do that, you know, just for sport, you know. You know, it'll bring a lot of laugh. It'll be, bring a lot of laughter next time we have chili, you know. Yes, the Cola Guard thing. Because I have my doctor's appointment next week, and I waited, dragged my feet. I guess it was my feet. Dragged my feet, putting that off. It was sitting in our living room floor. And I finally thought, I better do that. I better sit atop the colander, take a seat above the colander, and take care of that. So there was this period, like, I don't know when it was. It was last week someday. Everybody was gone. I was the only person at home. I thought, now's the time. I got to do it. I'm going to bust that thing open, and I'm going to take care of business. I'm going to, you know. And I went down there, and I took all the stuff out of the box. It's got some kind of a brace that goes across the toilet. Then you put the lid down on it. Then you drop the bucket down into the brace. And then you just line everything up and let her rip. Okay? And then you take this little swizzle stick thing that comes with it and swirl it around in the offerings, you know. You just, like, swirl it around inside the offerings. And then put it back in its case and screw it in. Put it all in a box. Oh, you got to put a label on each piece on the bucket itself. Oh, I forgot. There's some kind of stabilizing liquid. After you do the swizzle stick, you pour the stabilizing liquid in there, and then you screw the lid on. Put it all back in the box. Put the flaps down, seal it. It has like a seal. I mean, it's a pretty slick deal, you know. They got the thing set up so that you basically send it right back in the same box it came, you know. And then you peel off the label that they shipped it to your house, and underneath that label is a new label that's prepaid, going right back to wherever it goes, wherever you send these ship boxes out, wherever. There, you know, I didn't look to see what state or anything, but I took care of it. I went over to UPS store and I said, "Here you go. Here's it." He goes, "Just leave it on the counter." The guy's like, I mean, the thing's got the logo on the side of it. And, God, how would you? He's like, he had this, like, I don't know, maybe it's just in my head, but it seemed like he had this, like, air of, "I've made some bad decisions in my life." some of the decisions that I've made, you know, they weren't the best. It's led me to this. These people are just coming in, just hand over fist, just bringing their shit boxes in here. And I got to process them. How'd you like to be at the back, where they get delivered? How'd you like to be in that place where just pallets of shit boxes just keep coming in? There's another 12 pallets of shit boxes just backed up to door 26. Yeah, we'll be over there, you know. God, how'd you like to do that? Anyway, I did that. I also had to go back, and I had to get another blood test because they failed to order all the tests that they, you know, they needed. Did I tell you about that? So I went over there, and I did that, and I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "Oh, we forgot to order thyroid, yeah, I forgot to order thyroid and prostate." so I'm going to have to send you back. Sorry. It's like, great. You know, that's just fantastic. So I went over and did that too. By the end of the day, I had my results and everything looked good. You know, I like that my chart thing. You get the results before the doctor does. Everything looked good. Everything fell in the green space, you know. In the line graph, it says if it falls into the green, you're good. If it falls outside the green, it's, you know, have a conversation about it. So nothing fell outside the green. So I feel pretty good about it. I feel like, I don't know, that ship box is a wild card. I don't know. I'm hoping everything goes well with that. I did it 3 years ago, and everything was fine. I don't know. That's the only thing. So I'm worried about that. I'm going to go back to the doctor on Tuesday morning, and we'll see how it goes. But I don't even know if that box will be back. I don't know if the results on that box will be back by that quickly. I didn't do it, and I kept putting it off, and, you know, whatever. You know, that's tough shit, you know, whatever. You know, I did it. It's in process. I mailed it. That thing is in the shipbox facility right now. I don't know what status. I don't know if there's any way to even look. I don't think that'll be part of that my chart thing. I don't know. But anyway, I'm worried about that. I hate that kind of crap. I know. I go on and on about it. But that's the way it is. That's the status. I'll let you know. I'll let you know how it goes. The other day I was upstairs. It might have been the same day. It feels like it was the same day that I offered up my offerings and mailed them through the U.S. Postal Service. I was upstairs making the bed because somehow that's my job. I don't know how these things happen. When you're in a long-term relationship / marriage, both of you somehow take ownership of certain things. It's not shared. It's literally one of you does it and the other one doesn't do it. I don't know how these things happen. I mean, to be fair, Tony takes ownership of a lot of stuff. And I take ownership of a few things. So I'm not saying I'm being I'm doing all right on this deal. But anyway, making the bed, that's been my job for years, many years. I think it started out because I'm real particular about it. I want the bed made every day. I don't like getting into an unmade bed. I hate that. And Tony, she can go either way. So it wasn't really a high priority for her, very high priority for me. So I just started doing it. Yeah, that's the way it works. Now she gets irritated if it's something happens, and I, you know what I mean? But anyway, I was up there making the bed, and I was home alone, and I hear the trash truck coming. You know, I could hear it in the neighborhood. I'm like, oh, shit, we forgot to put the trash out, you know? So I'm like, oh, my God. So I go ripping down the stairs. It's a wonder I didn't fall down. It's a wonder I didn't go cascading ass over tits down the stairs, you know? And I ran outside. I had my phone in my pocket. I'm wearing these big old shorts, you know? I'm wearing a pair of shorts that I wear around the house, you know, when I'm, you know, before I go to work, and a T-shirt. And I go out there, and I'm dragging the trash bins out there. I can see the trash truck is coming. The thing, I can see it coming up the hill. I'm like, oh, my God. And these guys are not, you know, they're not cooperative. I can see them saying, no, you didn't make the cutoff, you know. No, you know. So I'm running. My pants are almost, they're you know, I got this phone in my pocket. It's heavy. It's pulling my pants down. I'm about ready to lose my shorts. My shorts are like way down. I mean, way past. I mean, you know, they're way down. I'm dragging this trash bin. There's two of them, and right last second they pulled up and they took it. But you know, I think they were trying. I felt like they were speeding up. Because they could see me struggling. Hey, go faster, go faster. Look at this fat son of a bitch with his underwear hanging out. Look at it. Let's see if we can make him fall down or something, you know? So anyway, so that happened. Out in California, when we lived in California, we had a trash, I don't know, we paid some enormous amount of money for trash pickup. It was ridiculous. Everything in California was ridiculous. Everything costs way more than you would think, you know. And also, there's like this water softening thing you got to do. You know, you got to pay, you got to, there's a, everybody has a water softener in their house. And you got to have that shit serviced, you know. Like, what the hell's that? You know, what in the hell's going on? And then, and there's like, everybody has a sprinkler, you know, they have sprinklers. Nobody mows their own lawn. That part I loved. You got to pay a lawn service. You know, I mean, I guess you don't have to, but literally in our neighborhood, not a single person mowed their own lawn. And, you know, but anyway, it was a bizarre place. But they had an expensive trash pickup, and they were super strict. They had one, you got one, the rolling bin with the lid on it. And if the lid, if you had trash in there that made the lid like lift up just a quarter of an inch, they wouldn't take it. It had to be completely closed. Also, there was a weight limit. It had to be 75 pounds. I don't know how much the frickin' trolley thing, the rolling, that thing was heavy. You know, I don't know if it's 75 pounds above that. I don't remember. But when they put those forks underneath it, it weighed it. It had a, you know, it measured the weight of it. And if it was over 75 pounds, they just put it right back down and put a sticker on there that says, you know, this is over our weight limit, you know. So it's like they were looking for reasons to say no, you know, to not take your trash. And you paid like, I don't know, like an enormous, like ridiculously high amount. So we got into this situation. We lived on a cul-de-sac, and we would, like, it's almost like a socialism, like trash can socialism. It's like, do you have any room in your trash? Yeah, I got a little bit of room. Do you mind if I put some things in there? Yeah. Just don't make sure the lid's all the way down, you know. So we would share trash can space, you know. And, you know, that's what it boiled down to. But there's often I'd come home from work, and the trash would be sitting there and have a sticker on it with some kind of reason why they couldn't take it. You know, at least it's not like that here. But these guys, you know, they could see me running, trying to drag that trash out to the curb. And they were like, turned it into a sport. They were like, hurry up, fat bastard. You know, he's going to fall down. You know, that'll be the greatest thing that happened to us in a while. So anyway, that happened. Listen to this. This terrified me. For a second, my heart stopped. All right. I told you in the last episode, in the Patreon episode, that we were trying to decide what to do about our vacation. Tony really wants to go to this tennis tournament in Cincinnati. I like going to it, too. We went one time. It was fun. It was a blast. And they had this giant, it's huge. It's like this huge tennis center out there right across the street from Kings Island, which is a, you know, amusement park. And, It's got multiple stadiums inside of it. It's got all these practice courts, and every big time tennis player participates in this. It's a big event. So she loves tennis, and you know, she wanted to do that. And the Reds are in town. They're playing the Cardinals, right? And the other option was Myrtle Beach again. I said, I don't care either way. I said, you pick whichever one you want. I am totally okay with either one of those. It sounds bizarre that we would go to vacation to Cincinnati, Ohio. But if that's what we do, that's fine. We can make the best of it and go see some baseball. Go to that tennis tournament, which is fun. We do some. There's some stuff to do in Cincinnati. It's a cool town, cool city. And you know, so she ended up deciding that we should go to Cincinnati. So she bought the hotel rooms are super expensive when that tennis tournament's going on, right? And so she went ahead and bought the hotel rooms, you know, and she bought the ones that are non-refundable, because it saved like $150 or something. So non-refundable, non-movable, you can't make any adjustments to it. And I was like, oh, God, okay, well, that's a little scary, but hey, whatever, whatever. So it was done, she bought the hotel rooms. Now we just have to get the tickets, because the tickets to the tennis tournament haven't been put on the market yet, and we have to get tickets for the baseball game, or baseball games, hopefully more than one. So the hotel room, that's the big cost, and we got that, right? So then we're talking about something, and I said, what are the dates of those baseball games? Let's see if, make sure there's plenty of tickets available. It's in August. Shouldn't be any problem. Well, I was just looking, and she goes, she told me what the dates were, and she goes, I think I might have messed up here. I said, what do you mean? She goes, booked that hotel room for the wrong week. I said, what? Aren't those things non-refundable, non-changeable, non-movable, adjustable? Aren't they? Didn't you tell me there's absolutely nothing you can do about it? And she goes, hang on a second. It feels like something's off. So she starts looking into it. She booked it for the wrong week. What the hell's that? I said, what are we going to do? It was expensive, like super expensive. And it's like, she goes, well, maybe we just go to baseball games. We'll blow off the tennis tournament. Cause by that point it'll be the finals. We won't even be able to afford the tickets. I said, what in the hell? So we're just going to be in Cincinnati. And we're not even going to go to the tennis tournament. She goes, the finals probably be over $1,000 a ticket. I said, oh my God, my heart was pounding. And when we looked and the Reds aren't even in town, like there's no baseball and the tennis tournament is reach a realm where we can't even afford to buy tickets. I said, what in the hell? So we just spent like, I don't know how much it was, $900 or something for hotel rooms, or $1,000. I don't know what it was. It was a lot, for me, in my opinion, it's a lot of money for a hotel room. And she said, I'll give them a call. I said, but doesn't it say? She said, yeah, but I'm going to talk to him. So she called him, and she talked to him, and they said, well, since you're rewards member or whatever, well, and since you only booked it like 2 days ago, we'll make this adjustment. So they did it for us, but, there was maybe an hour's worth of my heart was pounding in my chest. Like, oh my God, we're going to be in Cincinnati. We're going to spend $1,000 on a hotel room just to go to Cincinnati. There's no baseball. There's no tennis. We're just going to be in Cincinnati. What are we going to do? We're going to go to Kings Island. It's not worth $1,000. Anyway, but that worked out. We got it all straightened out, and they refunded the money on the first one. We had to repurchase the ones for the right week. They ended up being more expensive than the ones, they're even more expensive than the ones we bought in the wrong week. But it all worked out. So we're going to be going to Cincinnati, Ohio on our big vacation this summer. And we're going to see the Reds and the Cardinals. We'll go to a tennis tournament, the Cincinnati Open or whatever it's called. And it'll be fun, hopefully everything will work out. So that was crazy. Also, I watched this, I always talk about, I don't know, it's been a while, but I've talked about Phil Hendry, who's he had a radio show back in, when we first moved to California. I worked at night, well, I worked in the daytime, worked day shift, but I was always at the office deep into the night. You know why? Because every day we had meetings all around Burbank. And they had different buildings in Burbank. And they all had a different nickname, you know. They had the Glass Building, the Dick Building. That's right, the Dick Building. The Sony Building. I don't know, there's others. Just various different buildings, right? And we'd have meetings all the time in one of, you know, either in our building, which is the WIA building, the Dick Building, you know, the Glass Building, and all this stuff. And or if we weren't having a meeting, we were having a meeting to prepare for a meeting all the time, all day long, meetings and meetings and meetings, so freaking corporate. It was the worst. Like, I don't know. I liked working. I loved working at WIA in Atlanta. But when I moved out to California and I became like I started working a home office, completely different ball of wax, you know. It was just all meetings, very super corporate. So then we'd be at meetings all day, and I had to go back and work until like 8, 9, sometimes 10 o'clock at night just to get my regular work done. It sucked. I wasn't making money. I thought I was making money. When they offered me that job from, I was living in Atlanta, and they made me this offer, it was like, I was like, damn, that's pretty good. That's hell yeah. And then I get out there, everything's expensive. Everything's just ridiculously expensive, like the trash pickup, like I was saying. And every item you buy, the gas is super expensive. All the groceries are crazy expensive. Everything's super regulated and expensive. So anyway, so our quality of life went down the old poop catcher. And, you know, I hated it. I hated the whole thing. I mean, I liked the people I worked with. They were all cool, but the job sucked. What was I talking about that for? I don't even remember. Oh, Phil Hendry. So I would drive home from work like 8, 9 o'clock at night, and I would listen to, I love radio. I've always loved radio, and I still love radio. And I was listening to these talk shows, you know, and there was this, there's this big, one of those giant old talk radio stations in Los Angeles called KFI, which is one of the original radio stations back when there was only three call letters, KFI. And I was listening to that, and there was this show on there that it was on every night when I was coming home, and it was this, and it was always insane. It was like, it was the Phil Hendry show, and it was just insane. Like he'd always have a guest on there, and it would start out normal, and it would just come completely off the rails. He'd have people. The guest would always have some sort of opinion, or he would, you know, there would be something. He'd tell some story, or he'd have an opinion, or he wrote a book. It has some kind of a point of view that got everybody whipped up. Got everybody like whipped up. People were calling in outraged, you know. And the guest was insane, and Phil was the voice of reason. He was the host of the show, and I listened to this thing. I was like, "This is crazy. This is wild," you know. And I first couple of times I heard it, I thought it was just like a real radio, you know, like a real show, you know. I thought it was an actual talk show, just like, you know, it sounded exactly like a talk show, right? So then, but then I quickly realized this is not real. There's no way. This is, I mean, it can't be this crazy night after night. I mean, last night's guest was like the guest of a lifetime. And tonight he has somebody that's even crazier, you know? This has got to be like some kind of improv group. That's what I thought. This is an improv group. I can remember some guy on there. I can't remember the details of it, but he supposedly wrote a book, right? And his opinion, I don't remember what it was he was talking about. This is like maybe like the first or second time I heard the show. And I went immediately, this is the early days. This is when we were still living in an apartment in California. We lived in an apartment for 6 months, the first 6 months we were there. So I went upstairs to the apartment, and I went straight to the computer, And I went on Amazon to see if I could find this book, and it didn't exist. I'm like, hang on a second. What the hell's going on? So I thought it was an improv group. I thought it was a group of people who just improvise, you know? And but then I find out at some point that it's Phil. Phil is the host, and Phil is also the guest. He's doing both, and he has these recurring characters, and it's just pure insanity, and it's unbelievably funny. I mean, incredibly creative, unbelievably funny. I mean, literally the funniest shit I ever heard in my life. And I'm not being hyperbolic here. You know, this is not hyperbole here. It was the funniest, most creative, genius level. I mean, so, so funny. You know? I mean, I would listen to that show after I figured it out, especially. And I would laugh so hard. I can remember one time I was on the 405 driving towards the airport, and I was listening to him, and something happened on there, and I laughed so hard that I got lightheaded, and I almost crashed. I mean, I was lightheaded like I was about ready to pass out. I mean, I'm not joking. That thing is, he is a straight-up comedy genius. And I, you know, and he, nobody knows, a lot of people don't know who he is, right? So his show, at that point, it was just on in L.A. It became nationally syndicated, right? So when I moved here, when I moved to northeastern Pennsylvania, it was on. I could listen to it, and I listened to it through the internet, too. But it was nationally syndicated for, like, 7-8 years. And it got better and better, and it was hilarious. Anyway, so there's a documentary out about him called Hendry. Just came out. It's brand new, and it's good. It's really good. I watched it twice already. It's about his career, about how he was a DJ for 17 years, just a straight DJ. And then he kept getting fired. You know, it's a terrible business. The radio, and he bounced from cities. He started doing characters here and there, you know, and he'd get a good reaction. He just kept getting. And that's what he. So he ended up. He was in Atlanta for a while. He was in Miami, and he just kept doing these. He started adding these characters, and he moved to. He came back to L.A. where he's from. And got that job at KFI. That's where I intersected with him. The guy's freaking funny. I mean, just straight up hilarious. And so it's a really good documentary. It's just called Hendry. And you should check it out if you're even slightly interested in him. That stuff. I have hundreds of hours, thousands of hours of radio recorded. I have it stuck in my Dropbox. Thousands of hours. I have every episode of a syndicated radio show, which was 3 hours a day, 5 days a week for like 8 years. I have every one of them. Fantastic. Phil Hendry. God. I mean, I can't even, I mean, I don't, you know. I also watched that Nickelodeon. Tony and I watched that Nickelodeon, first two episodes of that Nickelodeon documentary. Because we watched a lot of Nickelodeon when our kids were young. And, you know, and there was good stuff on there. You know, there was stuff on that, like SpongeBob. The early seasons of SpongeBob, straight up great. You know, those are excellent. Really funny and weird. I loved it. And Drake and Josh, funny. That's a funny show. I mean, I like that. I like Drake and Josh. Better than some of the sitcoms on network, you know, that were on at the time. So we were tuned in to the Nickelodeon thing. We watched a lot of Nickelodeon when our kids were young. Yeah, so anyway, there's this documentary. It's a 4-episode. I think it's on HBO Max or one of those. I don't remember what streaming service it's on. But it's a 4-episode documentary about those kids that were on those shows, And there was, like, pervs working there. A couple of, like, pedophiles and stuff. And then there was, like, this guy who was, like, basically the most powerful person at Nickelodeon. He was, like, he was running some kind of, he was just completely difficult and terrible. So, anyway, I don't know. If you know anything about Nickelodeon, if you ever watched it and, when your kids were young or whatever, I don't know if I'd say you should watch this thing because it's kind of depressing, But that shit was like a den of pervs. I don't know. Who knew that it was just a den of perverts, But anyway, so that's what we've been watching. And before I call it a day here, I do have one call that came in over the hotline. It's from Ryan from Florida, and here it is.
Mr. Jeff K. Ryan from Florida. Happy daylight saving time. Oh my God, I hate this. Hate it. Anyway, about buying new socks. Yeah, that's one thing about adulting. You forget that, like, things have a shelf life. And, because I do the same thing. It's like, shit, my socks are a mess. Or, like, at what point in time do you decide to buy new silverware? I mean, that's got a shelf life too, right? But anyway, I agree with you. You gotta pay attention to these things. Otherwise, these little life things slip through the cracks. And before you know it, you're walking around barefoot. But anyway, my friend, love the show. Love listening to you. And look forward to it every week. Well, when you do it every week. But that's another story. All right, bud. Take care. Bye.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you gotta swap out your socks, man. My socks, I wear them until they just, like, start falling apart, And the heel, there's a hole in the heel, or there's a hole in the, in where your toes are. and I just get disgusted with them after a while, and the elastic's all stretched out, So I went and I tried to find. I'm very particular about what kind of socks I wear. I have to have gray crew socks, as they call them, crew. And couldn't find them anywhere. I went to multiple stores, can't find them. So I bought them off Amazon. I bought like a 10-pack. And they came in the mail. They were just loose in an envelope, like one of those big shipping bags, But they weren't. They weren't. They had no packaging. It was just stuck in a shipping envelope. Just 10 pairs of socks loose in a shipping. Like, what the hell is this? But anyway, they're nice. They're good. They look brand new. I don't think they've been worn or anything. But somebody's buying those 180 packs. And then selling them for a profit, I think is what's happening. But anyway, you gotta. I don't know. When you become an adult, there's stuff that I couldn't give two shits about, like that, like socks, like T-shirts, underwear, that kind of stuff. Just wear it until it falls apart. Who cares? Now I care. It disgusts me. If I put on a pair of socks and there's a hole in it, it irritates me. And I just throw it to the side. And then next thing you know, I don't have any socks, And it's a tragedy. It is a problem. And you can't find the ones I want. I have to go to stores and multiple stores. There's none local. And everybody's like, why don't you buy local? Like, where am I going to buy these things? From where? I went to Walmart. I know that's not buying local. But there's no mom and pop sock stores. I mean, I could go out. Everybody's like, don't buy stuff from a big box store. Like, where am I going to get socks? They don't even have them. They don't even have them at the box store. The big box. What the hell does that mean? Big box. Who the hell knows? But I got 10 pairs. That'll hold me for a while. And I'm going to toss it. Maybe I'm have a hole in them. Go straight in the trash. And I bought some undershirts, You know, I wear undershirts under, you know, white undershirts under, you know, and then I got a button-up shirt. Those things are like, got holes in them. Things are all stretched out, you know. I'm tossing those too. I'm trying to be more of an adult. Yes, I'm in my early 60s, but I'm starting, I feel like I'm edging into an adulthood now. Finally reaching some level of adulthood in my early 60s. Okay? I'm not expecting congratulations, but I'm not expecting it, but I'll accept it, you know? So if you guys want to congratulate me on my growth, you know, feel free. But anyway, thanks for the call. Ryan, I do appreciate it. Call me back whenever you want. And I appreciate you, mentioning that I don't always publish every week. Appreciate that. That's much appreciated. But anyway, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Call me back anytime you want. And anybody else can call me as well. All of you. Every one of you can call me. 570-290-8151 is the number. Call me round the clock. It's just voicemail. So just call, leave a message, and I will, and you will almost certainly be part of a future show. And if you leave a message and you don't like it, just call me back and say, don't use that. And I won't. I'm not in the business of embarrassing anyone. So, yeah, just give me a call. Round the clock. 570-290-8151. Also, surfreportpod.com is the web home of the podcast. I post pictures and links and stuff. You know, additional stuff like expanded show notes. It's worth it. Check it out. The last episode, there's all kinds of stuff listed there. Photographs and, you know, links to things. Surfreportpod.com. And if you want two of these episodes a week, all right. You know, thanks, Ryan. You know, weekish. You know, if you want two of these a week-ish, no, every time I publish or post a new episode on the main network, a few days later, there's one on the Patreon side. If you want to hear that Patreon episode, which is a full-length episode, just like the other, there's no difference between the two. It's just an extra episode every time. You can do that by going to patreon.com. That's Patreon, patreon.com/Jeff K. Sign up for a $4 or more monthly donation. It's $4. Put it on a credit card. You won't notice it because that's all it is, $4. It helps me a great deal, and you get an extra episode every weekish. Not every once in a while. That's for suckers. Every weekish. So do it today. patreon.com/Jeff K. And we're at the end of this thing. Thank you guys for listening. I appreciate it. And until next time, which will be over on the Patreon side, hope you guys have yourselves a fine, fine day. I'll see you. Bye. Right, the Dick Building.